Hello, and welcome to the final episode of Talking and Shul, a roundtable podcast. I'm your host, Tamar Fox, and I've got Zahava Stadler joining us from Toronto. Hi, Zahava.
Hey, Tamar.
And Mimi Lewis joining us from Somerville, Mass. Hi, Mimi.
Hey, Tamar. Hi.
This is our final episode, and it's an all-endorsements extravaganza. We are going to talk about endorsements from each other that we have stuck with, that have really stuck with us or that we love. We are going to talk about our own endorsements that we double, triple, quadruple endorse or just want to revisit in some way. We're going to give some fresh endorsements, and we'll do a couple quick thank yous at the very end. So, Mimi, I think Zahava went first in our last episode. So, Mimi, how do you feel about going first in the endorsement palooza?
I am happy to do it.
All right. Hit us with the endorsements from the two of us that have stuck with you, or your own endorsements that you want to double down on.
Ooh. I'm not sure I'm in a double downing sort of place. I'm like questioning so much. So, okay. I'm not going to take you up on that one. But I was recently revisiting episode 89, where we went around and each shared recommendations for different parts of the Seder. And Tamar, you recommended something that really stuck with me and that I have started to incorporate into my Seder. You talked about having everyone pour some wine from their cups into Elijah's cup. And at the time, you talked about that as a way of symbolizing that we all have something to contribute to redemption. I also took from that this idea that sometimes the liberation of everyone or of even just one group is going to require sacrifices from each of us. And I've shared that at a few Passover gatherings, and it's brought about like just fascinating conversations, whether it's about like, you know, making different consumer choices, or about questioning this notion of like, is it that there's one pie and everybody just gets slices, and maybe if my slice is too big, I have to take less. So that's been just a really rich conversation topic for me. And I want to share that one back. So that was in episode 89. And then Zahava, well, first of all, Zahava just gives amazing recommendations. I think in large part for me, Zahava, not only is your interests are so wild sometimes and wide. So I was looking back on a time when Zahava recommended a ska band. Was it ska funk? I can't remember now.
Oh, yeah, it's a funk band. Yeah.
A funk band. Okay.
Scary like, pockets.
Thank you. Not what I ever would have thought. But also, as listeners know, Zahava is, you just like, you hold Jewish text and a fluency with shiurim, with, you know, lessons from rabbis or others, so adeptly. And so I've loved when you have shared either your own shiurim that you've given or things that you're reading in preparation or others. And that's just been an amazing window. Unfortunately, some of the links are dead in our show notes or no longer work. But I recommend others to give those a look. However, my callback endorsement from Zahava is actually going to be a poem, because that's another sort of genre of endorsements, Zahava, that you've given. And there was one that you gave, I'm not sure which episode it was, but for a poem called Heavy by Mary Oliver. And, you know, I think in the last decade of doing this podcast, we've all encountered loss, either close to us or family, friends, or just generally in the world. And I just have to read part of this poem by Mary Oliver. She writes, "That time I thought I could not go any closer to grief without dying. I went closer and I did not die. Surely God has his hands in this, as well as friends." And yeah, you think you can't and you don't die. So thank you for sharing that poem with me. Both of those are things that I have shared with others to great impact.
That's wonderful. And it was like revisiting some of the poems that we have. I've endorsed a bunch of poems. Tamara's also endorsed some poems on the show. And looking back over the list, I've realized how many of them are about grief and fear, and just that those really difficult emotions are things that we've turned to poetry for over the course of this podcast. And it was really interesting to see that come back up.
Yeah. So many of the poems that you've shared or that we've looked at together, or even Mimi, that you have shared a few poems, I believe. So that you've shared are ones that I have either printed out. Longtime listeners will know that at my Seder, we, during Hallel, we read a lot of poetry. And so I have read poems that both of you recommended at our Seder. And I have a poetry group chat every Thursday, and I have sent our poems to my Thursday poetry group chat. And it is really, it's been so enriching. And it has helped me in so many hard times to have these words. So I don't think I would have thought to recommend a poem to begin with. So I'm so glad that you kicked that off, Zahava. All right, Zahava, should we pass it to you?
For recommendations for each of you that I go back to, and that spoke to me. So I think, I mean, this is obviously reductive because we've all recommended so many different kinds of things over the years, but I think it's just Mimi is a go-to for me for Jewish music. And Tamar is a go-to for me for novels. And actually, looking back over our endorsement list, there are so many novels from Tamar that I realized I never got to. And I just requested like four things from the library today. And, you know, Mimi, who I know really was like raised on Debbie Friedman, that like Jewish music is in your blood. In fact, that you were raised almost exclusively on Debbie Friedman. Didn't you say once that your brother that thought Debbie Friedman thing. Was the entirety of music when he was a kid? But so Mimi had endorsed at some point the album Capella by Raza, which is Hasidic Nigunim in female voices, and that is a fabulous album and an amazing artist, and I've been so glad to have that. Also the protest song We Rise by Batya Levine, also super beautiful, and those two pieces of music one album, are Mimi recommendations that I'm so glad to have in my life now. And I think that, you know, that song We Rise is applicable to too many things, as the world keeps throwing challenging developments at us that require resilience and unity, and power. And so all of that has been valuable. And then Tamar, a couple of books that I read on your recommendation, a couple of novels. So one is the book Search by Michelle Hunnivan, which is about a Unitarian Universalist church trying to hire a new minister. And this has resonated so hard with my rabbi hiring experience. And also there is, spoilers, a plot point about how the minister they hire is a really aggressive salary negotiator. And that leaves the church ultimately in a very precarious position. And let's just say that there has been many a shul board meeting where this problem has run through my mind.
It's a brilliant novel. I like feel like it's one of my most intense recommendations of all time, but like, let this be a note to you if you haven't already recommended it from your library. It's really, it hits so hard.
And the other novel, Tamara, that you recommended, and I think I even officially re-endorsed it after I read it, is the novel Go Went Gone by Jenny Erpenbeck, which I think is translated from the German originally, but it's about, basically, it's about migrants in Germany who are stuck in this legal nether status, who can't work, can't go anywhere, are on the fringes of society, and this man from former East Germany who becomes invested in their situation and initially in this sort of dispassionate academic way, and then ultimately in this very, very personal way. And I think that as we think about migration in the world and what it means to be part of a society and what it means to be a citizen, a refugee, just a participant in community, that book has been something that I have thought about so many times in relation to current events and Jewish life and happenings. And so all of that has been really, really powerful. And so when I think about those issues, those two books pop back up for me all the time.
And what about your own endorsements that you want to maybe re-endorse?
There are a lot of things that I stand by. I would say that one was the video of the chief cantor of the IDF. This was when I discovered that was a real job, and his choir singing Unatana Tokef, the High Holiday prayer that has remained a mainstay of my High Holiday prep. The music video from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, the CW show, the song Remember That We Suffered, in which Rabbi Patti LuPone and overbearing mother Tova Feldshuh and the main character played by Rachel Bloom are part of a bar mitzvah hora about the history of Jews and oppression. It is hilarious and true and makes me cry good. Every time.
I haven't thought about that in so long. It's so good.
And then I made two endorsements years apart that were related. So on the 1 year anniversary of the 2016 election, I went to a live Slate event called The People versus Trump Year One. And it was interviews with various activists. And there was an interview during that where Dahlia Lithwick interviewed Becca Heller, the founder of the International Refugee Assistance Project. That interview really became a touchstone for me in thinking about the world is throwing so much at us, and how do you know what to react to? And the idea of choosing the thing that's going to be your thing and investing your heart and soul in it. And sometimes it'll be top of the news and sometimes it won't. But when it is, you're ready. And when it's not, you're still making sure that the world moves forward. And that's been a really important thing for me to remember over the last 8 or so years. And Dahlia Lithwick also has a book that's a retrospective on the first Trump term through stories of different women in the law, including a chapter about Becca Heller. And that book is called Lady Justice. So I interviewed both, I endorsed both of those years apart. One novel, the rare novel that I have endorsed on this podcast, which is the book Safekeeping by Jessamine Hope, which was a novel about a troubled young person figuring himself out and trying to make amends for difficult things by volunteering on a kibbutz and trying to like reconnect with someone that his grandfather knew in the early days of pre-state and early state Zionism. And there's a character in there who's a current soldier who doesn't totally know what's flying, and just the complexity of being in the middle of Israeli society in all of its tangled, you know, fractiousness. I think that book is great, and I recommend it to anybody who never had a chance to pick it up. And I think, especially in a time when the rest of the world often thinks of Israel as sort of one unified thing about which they should have an opinion, the like getting deep into the mess in a very human, like an actual novel's worth of human feelings and conflicts is worth doing. So that was a whole lot of past endorsements that I think about often and go back to. One more. The story behind the funniest email Hillary Clinton has ever sent was a Washington Post article during the Hillary Clinton email leaks, which is, man, three lifetimes ago. But there was one that was just subject line, gefilte fish, email body, where are we on this? And that was it. And so the backstory on that, as dug up by Yair Rosenberg in the Atlantic of the Atlantic, and then reported in the Washington Post, and then re-reported in a million other places. But just the existence of that email is the thing that I endorse.
I haven't thought about that in so long, and it is so wonderful.
I have a couple new endorsements, but we can come back to that, because I feel like I've been talking for long enough. Tamar, how about you? What do you go back to from us and from your own endorsement canon?
Okay. So first of all, I just wanted to say that actually the hardest part of hosting this podcast is when we give endorsements, I don't expect that when I give an endorsement, you both will like chime in with "that sounds great." But it is actually impossible for me, both as a host and just as a human, to not like give some affirming comment after your endorsements, which I sometimes feel like is in a, like, I don't get the tone exactly right. And then I feel like maybe it sounded dismissive or something. And it's like, this is what tortures me. It's like, I'll be like, did I say "that sounds great, Zahava" in a way that conveyed that I really do think it sounds great, even though it also sounds sad and serious, and I haven't decided if I want to look into, you know, like, it's just, this is where my overthinking manifests itself. So if you've heard me say some asinine things in response to my co-host's recommendations, know that I know I haven't quite landed that plane, and apologies. But that was all by way of saying, like, yeah, I so many things that you guys have recommended have become mainstays of my life, not just like little bits, but like things that I just do without even, you know, just become basic parts of my life. So I will say perhaps the most commonly used one is a long time ago, Zahava recommended an extension for Google Chrome by Safaria. that I think it's called like Torah tabs or something like that. And it makes it so if you open a new tab, it just, before you put anything in the URL window, it just shows you a random Jewish text. And I have found, I got that. And first of all, I will say that like if I'm sharing my screen and I'm in a work meeting and then I open a new window, there's always this funny moment where people are like, what is that? but also it, I have just like randomly come across very random texts as a result of it. And it has multiple times given me moments of like, like that's interesting. In the middle of my day, you know, I go on to do whatever I opened the tab to do, but it has brought so many little sprinkles of Torah into my day. And so I really, really love that from Zahava. Speaking of sprinkles, Zahava a long time ago recommended an almond cookie recipe for Pesach, which I have made a bunch of times and is really delicious. I didn't make it this year because I was very lazy this year, but it's a great recipe.
I did make it this year. It's I can't get away with not making it for Pesach. My family just demand the Ricciarelli di Siena.
Yes, they're really good. For Mimi, I mean, my challenge with Mimi is that I am also on a text thread with Mimi and another mutual friend where we recommend books to each other. And every once in a while, I'm like, I actually can't remember if this was a show endorsement or a text endorsement from Mimi. But the one that I have thought about the most in the past couple years is a novel that Mimi recommended, which is called Yerba Buena by Nina LaCour. It's just a stunning novel. It's so good. It's not super long. It's a story about sisters with a pretty like rough childhood. And I just loved it. I think about it all the time. There are scenes from it that really are just deep in my brain now. And I love that. And then I have a very vivid memory of the first time that Mimi endorsed something that was not in any way Jewish. And I remember Zahava and I looking at each other like, she loved to do that.
What?
and then I was like, well, it's our podcast. She can do whatever she wants. like, and it was the, oh, I can't remember the name, the Elizabeth Bennet Diaries, the Elizabeth Diaries. It was like a YouTube show.
A YouTube series.
About, like, of Pride and Prejudice. And
yeah, there were no Jews in that.
No. You just, you just liked it, and that's because it was good. I think about that a lot. And I recently, when you... When you shared the beans that you are big, the Rancho Gordo beans, I was like, I love them too.
I just think Mimi has a philosophy where she's like, I'm Jewish and this is my life. And so this is part of my Jewish life.
I mean, really, the problem is the hardest thing for me about this podcast is coming up with the endorsements. It's a lot. It's very hard for me. And I can't tell you the number of times I'm like, as we're recording, I'm Googling like, oh, what was that thing called? Oh, it's a lot of pressure. So, yeah, if it's something I've enjoyed in the past month, probably going to share it on the podcast.
It is pressure, but God, the thing about me is there's nothing I love more than telling other people about things that I've loved, which is why I always have like an epic number of endorsements. Speaking of my epic number of endorsements, a few that I go back to and that I would really recommend people check out if you haven't already. One is this documentary called Till Kingdom Come. It is about the evangelical movement in the United States, connection to Israel, and particularly the, what's it called? The Committee for Christians and Jews or something. And it's a wild ride. It happens to feature somebody that I went to high school with. But it has really informed a lot of my understanding of geopolitics, because I think that, like, as a Jew, I am very aware of Jewish takes on Zionism. And I'm aware that there, like, are Christians who are really into Zionism, but, like, I don't really know or understand them. And this movie helped me to, like, see in that world in a different way. It's pre-October 7th, and it is not, like, light. But it's very good. It's very watchable. Like, it doesn't feel like a hard sit. And the other one that is, like, just a mainstay of my Jewish life is The Commentator's Bible by Michael Sarasik. I mean, it's not really by Michael Sarasik. It's basically the traditional Mikra Gedolot that you might get. So the text of the Torah with a bunch of key commentators, which is like a kind of common thing to find in the Orthodox world. But and there are translations of most of the commentators, but you couldn't, until The Commentator's Bible, get a version of the each book of the Torah that shows you the Hebrew and then has all of the commentary by these key commentators in English. My Hebrew is pretty good. I can look at a Hebrew Mikra Gedolot and get a sense of what's going on. But what I love about The Commentator's Bible is my partner and I, like, regularly read all of the Mefarshim, all of the commentators for the Parsha, which is just, like, not something that I would be able to do if I was only reading the Hebrew. Because we do it so regularly, like, I also feel like a much better facility with, like, their different kind of, the different Mefarshim's different kind of takes on things. And I was not aware of this as, like, a phenomenon, but one of the things that is in this particular layout is he has a Barbanel's questions. So the way the page is laid out, in the middle is the Hebrew text. There's two different English translations on the top. And then right underneath the text are Abarbanel's questions on the text. And then below that in two columns are all of the commentary on the text. But Abarbanel's questions have these, like, prime real estate. And Abarbanel's questions are often like, why is this here? We already know this. and it's just... Abarbanel is a real hater in these questions, and it's so great. So yeah, I just really, if you're interested in Jewish text and you feel like you don't have the facility with Hebrew that you'd like to have, but you really do want to interact with the text on a deeper level, The Commentator's Bible is just a really excellent way of doing that. It's five individual volumes, so you can do what we did and, like, kind of order one at a time instead of making the investment all at once. But it's, in addition to being an incredibly useful book for us, it is also very beautifully done, laid out, and the translations are lovely as well. I have a lot of other things that I stand by, but those are the ones that I'm like, if you haven't checked these out, you should go do that now. Okay, well, it's relatively early in the episode for us to get to endorsements, and we've already, of course, talked a lot of endorsements, but now is the time for us to give our final endorsements. So, I know, it's really sad, and everybody, I hope you're buckled, because I have a lot. Mimi went first before, so Zahava, would you like to go first with your final endorsements?
Okay, sure. So two of these are sort of half new, half callback, and two of these are genuinely new. So the half callback ones, Before I read the book, I endorsed a podcast interview with the author of the book Tablets Shattered, The End of an American Jewish Century and the Future of Jewish Life, which is by Joshua Leifer. I had endorsed a podcast interview with him by Emily Bazelon on Gabfest Reads. I have now actually read the book and can recommend it. And I think one of the things that I think is really valuable about it is that, so Joshua Leifer is a pretty left-leaning journalist. For people for whom this is meaningful, he used to write for 972 Mag, which is an Israeli and Palestinian left-leaning magazine publication in Israel. And he definitely is on the left in the political conversation. But I think that most of the voices we have about that do not necessarily come across as deeply invested in the welfare of the Jewish people, the future of Jewish life, and the health of Israel as a society and a democracy and a place where real people live. And one of the things that I just think is so valuable is to have a book that is written from that left-leaning perspective by somebody who is clearly very personally invested in those things, and cares about making the Jewish world lasting, thriving, better, in both in Israel and in the United States and elsewhere, presumably. He ends the book with a few contemporary movements that he thinks show promise for the thriving of the Jewish future. My own Jewish stream of modern Orthodoxy gets barely a mention in the entire book, which tells me something about how niche I really am. But so I can actually endorse the book now. So Tablets Shattered, The End of an American Jewish Century and the Future of Jewish Life. The other half callback is, if you never watched the rest of the PBS series Little Bird, go back and do it. I think when we discussed Little Bird on the show, which is an originally Canadian series about an Ojibwe woman who is removed from her family during the 60s scoop in Western Canada and then is adopted by Holocaust survivors in Montreal, and her experience sort of discovering about her past and reconnecting with her family of origin and parallels between the Native and Jewish stories. And it is not a light watch. It is tough. But when we discussed it, I think because it was not yet fully out in the US, but it had aired first in Canada, I was the only one who had watched the whole thing. And for any listeners who thought that was interesting, but maybe weren't sure if they wanted to like subject themselves to it, or if you maybe watched the first episode or so and didn't go back, watch the whole thing. Strong endorsement. Then just in terms of, you know, we are leading into the holiday of Shavuot, and as we record this, and so I'm going to do two Shavuot endorsements. One is for learning, and one is for eating. So the learning endorsement is Dr. Yael Ziegler's book, Ruth from Alienation to Monarchy. It's part of the Magid Studies in Tanakh series, which has a lot of really interesting, scholarly, but from a very inside the tent Jewish perspective, analysis and commentary on different books of the Tanakh. So Dr. Yael Ziegler wrote the one on Ruth, which is, of course, the book that's read aloud on the holiday of Shavuot. It is amazing. And I think Ruth often feels kind of like this book apart, like it feels very separate from the rest of Tanakh. It's this idiosyncratic thing because it's the story of this one family and this one subset of this one family, and it doesn't feel very rooted in time. And she situates it so well in its historical moment, in its connections to other books of Tanakh, in its connections to earlier books in terms of Ruth's forebears in Moab, and all of these just, you know, you can read those, what is it, four chapters? Like, it's a very little book of Tanakh. It's very slim, and it can feel like this almost like this little fable by itself, and instead situating it so richly in the rest of Tanakh and in all of the commentary about it and all of these related works. It is an amazing, amazing book. And just something to you know, to get for your Shavuot learning and dip into. So I definitely recommend that. I did some partner learning coverage of learning with a friend of that book over a long period, little by little, and it has really enriched my holiday experience of reading the Megillah. And the last Shavuot endorsement is a cheesecake, of course. The recipe that I make when I have the patience, because it is a multi-part thing. This is not a dump some cream cheese and sugar in a graham cracker crust cheesecake. But the white chocolate raspberry cheesecake recipe, I found it on allrecipes.com years ago. It is posted by Cindy Katudal Shank. I don't know anything about her except this amazing recipe. You make a crust out of chocolate cookie crumbs. It involves a cream cheese, half and half, and white chocolate chips-based cheesecake body, and a raspberry sauce that you make with frozen raspberries that gets swirled through the top. If you're going to make a cheesecake and you want to do it right, this is the most decadent piece of dairy I could ever recommend to you. Break out the lactate pills. It is worth it.
I love this.
That sounds so good.
Seriously. Yeah. I'm, part of me is like, some people don't like white chocolate, but I'm like, screw them. I need to make this. Okay. Well, I have so many endorsements, y'all. I this morning I was like, do I have anything to endorse? And then it's just kept on coming.
Don't you always have everything to endorse?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I love sharing good news with my friends and community. So that's what I see this as, my opportunity. Okay, so I'm going to go through them relatively quickly so we're not here for the end of forever. The first is a Substack newsletter by my friend and community member at my community. His name is Ilan Uhlendorf. It's called Escape the Algorithm. It's on Substack, and it is just a really lovely, thoughtful Substack about what it means to like actually do things outside of the algorithm. And he recently had an interview with our very own David Zvi Kalman. So it's just a great thing to get. It is free. There is no paywall on any of it. Ilan is a delight, and I highly recommend the Substack. A book that I just read is called The Rest is Memory by Lily Tuck. It is a Holocaust book, quite short. It's like 150 pages or something like that. It's really like a novella. And it is about it was inspired by a picture that was taken by one of the photographers at Auschwitz, and it's of a 14-year-old Polish girl. And it is a novel imagining this 14-year-old Polish girl's life. And it tells the story of the Nazis basically taking a big section of Poland and kicking all of the Polish people out of it. Not Jewish people, non-Jewish Poles, many of whom were sent to Auschwitz, where they, like this girl, eventually died. And this is like a piece of the history of the Holocaust that I knew very little to nothing about. And it's interesting because it is a novel, but it has footnotes, so she's made up most of it. But there's quite a bit of real information about the real people who were involved in this in it. So I learned a lot. It is not easy read, I wouldn't say. Like, it's not like breezy, but it's incredibly beautifully written. It's short. You can read it over a Shabbat, and I really, really recommend it. Another thing to read is an article from The New Yorker, pretty old. It's almost maybe a year old, 6 months old, something like that. It's called Converting to Judaism in the Wake of October 7th by Jeannie Suk Gerson. I don't know if either of you remember, but in the summer of 2007, New York Times Magazine published an article by Noah Feldman about his experience having gone to Jewish school. And he was married to somebody who wasn't Jewish. They went to an alumni event. There was a picture taken at the event, and he and his wife were cut out of the picture. And he was like talking about how he felt like his community wouldn't really accept him and his wife, basically. This article was such a big deal at the time. I cannot overstate every single Shabbat meal that I had that summer. We talked about this article.
So many think pieces. Summer. So many think pieces about the Jewish community and how Orthodoxy treats intermarried couples. And oh my God, so many conversations.
Yeah. And anyways, that guy, Noah Feldman, is like a constitutional law professor. He's done many other things, but I only think of him as the guy who wrote this article. The woman who was his wife, they eventually got divorced, and she converted to Judaism after October 7th. So she waited a long time. I think that that might tell us something about her ex-husband, but who can say? Anyways, this article is fascinating and great, and I really recommend it. Okay, if you are interested in learning to read Torah or to lead davening at your community, my father is a very serious person on these matters. He has strong feelings about the right way to do things, and when people do it not the right way, he is disappointed in them, which is very painful for me as his child. Where did my father learn this particular take? He learned it when he was in college from a man named Rabbi Miles Cohen, who was then and continues to be like a leading authority on how you the correct approach to reading Torah, the right nusach, how to do it the right way. He writes a luach every year that tells you exactly how to do everything that you need to do at shul. When you leave the bima, which direction should you walk? When you return the Torah to the ark, which direction should you walk? When do you cover the Torah? When do you stand up? Like every little thing you need to know, he will tell you. And he also has resources on how to read Torah and lead. Incredible guy. If you are interested in any of this stuff, I really recommend any of his resources, which you can buy from his website, which is, I believe, rabbimilesbcohen.com. But I will have a link to it in our lengthy show notes. An amazing t-shirt, amazing gag gift for any Jewish person in your life is a gag t-shirt that says, "I went to Chelm and all I got was this stupid pair of pants."
Zahav, Tamar, I recommended that shirt a year or so ago.
Oh my gosh, that's so...
I'm obsessed with that shirt.
I got it for our mutual friend, Miriam Steinberg Egith, and she wore it on Purim this year. It's just amazing. It's so funny. I love it. It makes me laugh every single time. I had completely forgotten that you recommended it, but so this actually goes in my earlier segment of things that I have entered my life through you. Oh, and the last one is a podcast, a recent episode of a podcast which I recommended before, the Yenta podcast. This episode is called Jewish Lesbian Power Couple with Alana Arian, and it's just a fun conversation with Alana Arian, who's a Jewish musician, but there's quite a bit about Debbie Friedman in it, callback to previous mentions of Debbie Friedman on this episode, and in fact, we did a whole segment or a whole episode on her in the past. and it's super funny. Yenta is also doing a matchmaking service. So if you have someone who you think you'd like to set up with someone, check out their matchmaking episodes. They're pretty funny. Okay, that is all. That's my whole everything. And now, Mimi, you get the final word. Give us your last recommendations.
This is really a lot of pressure. I think there is one endorsement that I've made in the past that I want to double down on. And that is, if you are ever in the Boston area, and I think in the next year in the DC area, Lair House is a Jewish tavern that opened up in Somerville, where I live, that is just so delightful. The aesthetics of the place, the menu, which changes and is presented to you in a rather like page of Talmud manner. I really loved it as a gathering place, as a restaurant, as a bar. Super fun. So go to Lair House. Okay, I have been on a bit of a journey recently around the topic in particular of AI, but just generally, like, where are we going technologically and what is that going to do to humans? I want to recommend a few pieces. The first is David Zvi Kalman, who helped us start this podcast and continues to support it, has released a podcast called Belief in the Future, which is just so well done. And in every episode, he interviews somebody in the world of tech and religion. In particular, I want to point you to an episode called Does Religion Have Wisdom for Tech? And he talks to Rabbi Zvika Krieger, who's out in the Bay Area, used to work at Facebook and Meta. I loved a piece of their conversation, which was about the metaverse and where there might be space for Jewish practice or spiritual experience. It really got me thinking in a lot of exciting ways. So I got excited when I listened to David Zvi. And then just recently, I listened to Ezra Klein interview Ross Douthat on his podcast. On the Ezra Klein podcast, the episode is called Trump, Mysticism, and Psychedelics. And Ross is a practicing Catholic, Roman Catholic. Their conversation touches on religion and spirituality and spiritual experiences, which Ross is pushing Ezra to consider within a religious framework rather than just in this like California mysticism way. They talk about psychedelics. They talk about the future of technology. And it was a really interesting conversation, one that I would love if we could do episodes 101, 2, 3, and 4 to dive more into with the two of you. I'm really curious where Jewish spaces take AI and psychedelics. And I think there are a lot of people doing interesting work. In particular, there's an organization called Shefa, which is thinking about Judaism and psychedelics.
Episode 101 is us taking psychedelics and recording a podcast. And episode 102 is us feeding some episodes into AI and being like, create an episode about AI.
I love that. The last thing I will leave you with is a song that... as Zahava mentioned, we are right now in the weeks leading up to Shavuot. There's a beautiful song that I just am constantly singing. It's Al Sfirat HaOmer Nigun by Rabbi Yosef Goldman. It's recorded with several other musicians who I love. And wow, it's just gorgeous. And it really walks you through, I think, the daily practice of counting the Omer in a musical way. So that's what I've got for you tomorrow in Zahava.
So much good stuff. I feel we've given you guys some great, a great reading list, a bunch of things to get you through your next long car ride, some kinds of ideas to think about, some things to buy. You're set, it sounds like. I think we're all good. Okay, well, I wanted to end with a couple of thank yous. So the first thank you, we've already mentioned him a lot of times, but David Zvi Kalman is the person who really made this podcast happen. And though he has been a lot less involved in the last few years, we definitely would not be here doing this podcast without him. So I'm just so grateful that that he had this vision, and I hope we have been faithful to it, and it has been really a delight. My second thank you is to all of the listeners who've reached out either in person when you meet us or interact with us on some, you know, in some other Jewish space or online. It's just so nice to hear from you. This is such a funny medium because really we have no idea who listens, how often they listen, and what they think. And so we love hearing from you. And that that won't change. If you are listening to this years in the future, we would still love to hear from you. It is always really fun to have conversations, to be reminded of conversations that we've had and think about ways that we may have changed or deepened or grown our ideas. So you should always feel free to reach out to me. I can forward it on to the team. My email is tamar.fox@gmail.com. And then my last thank yous, well, my penultimate thank yous are to the many, there's been a handful of editors who have helped us put the show out since I stopped doing the editing in 2019. And I just want to shout out anybody who has helped us with getting the show out in the world, because I know from having done it, it's quite hard work. So I'm really grateful, particularly to Adina Karp, who has seen us through this last chapter of the podcast. And then last, I always at the end of the podcast say thank you to Mimi and thank you to Zahava, but I want to give a bit more for each of you today. I think we've talked about things that each of us has brought that have stuck with the others, but I think, not to be too cheesy, but the real lesson was the friends we learned along the way. I really believe that I have learned so much from both of you and felt so close to you. And it is, as I get older, I feel these moments of connection with people as so much more precious. Please God, we'll all be around for a long time. But it's just not every day that you get to have the kind of honest, thoughtful, funny, joyful, and sometimes very serious conversations that we have. And this has been a really special space. Zahava, I did not know at all before this podcast. And Mimi, I knew in a very social way, but not in the way where we would necessarily like talk deeply about our lives or our beliefs or talk even about like culture that we consumed and what we thought it meant and what we liked or didn't like about it. And this is just a special relationship that that we've built together. And the reason that it's gone on for 10 years, I think, is because it has felt valuable to all of us. It felt worth doing. And frankly, it still feels worth doing, but I think that maybe the audience is less important and what's worth doing is our friendship. So this is the end of the Talking and Shul podcast, but it's not the end of our friendship. And I'm so grateful for everything that both of you have given, the amount of like prep work. We had many, many conversations where we were like, what should we talk about? and Yeah, so much prep work, so much kind of figuring out how to deal with various tech difficulties, reaching out to random people to find out if they want to be on the podcast. And it's just been truly, I say this very often, but it remains extremely true. It has been a delight, and I feel very, very lucky to have been a part of this trio. And I'm sad to see it go, but I'm excited for what I hope will be many decades of friendship to come.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you, listeners, so much for listening. Whether this is your first episode listening or you've been listening for a long time, we're so grateful for you. And thank you again to Adina Karp, who's our editor for this episode. It still is always helpful to leave a review of the show, so if you haven't yet, please go do that on Apple Podcasts. And if you have a comment on the show, a question for us, an endorsement that really stuck with you that you want to let us know about, please feel free to email me. My email is tamar.fox@gmail.com. Sahava, thank you.
Thank you. Everything is inadequate, but this has been such an honor.
I agree. Mimi, thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to miss this.
Me too. All right, listeners, we won't see you next month, but we will be thinking about you.